This is Lewis Rogers, and welcome to The Real Estate Show. Today's episode is entitled, Get This, It's All About the Babies, or From Hondas to Harleys to Viagra. You pick the title. Today we have Ken Gronbach, demographer and generational marketing. This will be very exciting. Ken is a gifted keynote speaker and nationally recognized author, expert, and futurist in the field of demography and generational marketing. He makes the science of shifting demography come alive with real-life examples and relevant to today's culture, business, climate, and economy. With nearly three decades of experience in retail advertising and marketing, Ken saw the direct results of shifting demographies in his clients' profiles. Eventually, his passion for the subject changed. The direction of his career moved more to writing and speaking. And so we're very fortunate to have Ken today. And while you're at it, Google Ken and look at his books. Upside, Profiting from the Profound Demographic Shifts Ahead. The Age Curve, How to Profit from the Coming Demographic Storm, Decades of Differences Making It Work. You will hear Ken make complicated concepts clear with real-world explanations. Welcome, Ken.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Demography. What is a demographer?
Demographers study populations. Demographers study live births, migration, and death. It's very, very simple. And I always tell folks, I say, listen, I'm not an economist and I don't make maps. A lot of people think a demographer makes maps. I said, no, all I do is count people.
And you're able to forecast markets, societal phenomena, and economies?
With uncanny accuracy. With uncanny accuracy, absolutely. No, and it's true. I started writing. I wrote a book called Common Census back in 2005. You go back and, you read some of the forecasts, and I would say I'm right about at 80%, which is pretty good. Economists, on the other hand, are right about 20% of the time.
It's pretty good, 80-20. Just as we get started, kind of a warm-up question, how do we use historic human data to predict future results?
Well, if you sell any product or service, what's the most important question that you need to answer every day? And that is,
who's my customer?
Yeah, who's my customer? Well, not just who's my customer, but is my customer base, my end user, getting bigger or smaller? Because if it's getting smaller, I have a problem, a serious problem. And if it's getting bigger, I have an opportunity. I better take advantage of it. So how do you use it to forecast? If you have a huge market heading your way, like right now, automobiles. Automobiles are bought by men and women. The biggest buyers are men and women 40 to 45. The largest generation in our history in the United States was born 1985 to 2004. And there's 88 million millennials, and they are bearing down on the automobile market. So automobiles are going to do well. It's just numbers.
It's just numbers. Let's get into the age cohorts and all the X's and Y's and Z's, if you don't mind, because I think that's where we're headed today.
Baby boomers' parents, GI generation, born 1905 to 1924. There were approximately 56 million live births in the United States, and an additional 14 million people came here from Europe. The immigration was significant. So that was a generation of 70 million, which is a big generation. The generation that followed the baby boomers' parents, the GI generation, was a generation called the silent generation, born 1925 to 1944. There were only about 50 million of them born, and there was no immigration. So it was tiny. The next generation was baby boomers, born 1945 to 1964. And incidentally, we use census data and we use 20-year generations. These are standard 20-year generations. So we compare apples to apples. Baby boomers are born 1945 to 1964. The generation born after the baby boomers is called Generation X. Generation X was born 1965 to 1984. Now, that's a diminutive population. And the reason it's small is because they were the kids of the silent generation, which was wicked small. Now, the new generation up and coming is called Millennial or Generation Y, and they were born 85 to 2004, and there's actually 88 million of them. There are 8 million more, maybe even closer to 10 million more than their baby boomer parents. So we have a huge crop of young people headed our way who are currently 17 to 36 years old. And they're creating all kinds of wonderful markets as they age through the time continuum, not the least of which is houses.
We'll come back to the millennials shortly. People make fun of them and call them snowflakes, but
yeah,
they're driving markets and they're filling apartments. And we're in the apartment business. So
they're unreal. Yeah. And in fact, I just spoke about that this morning to the Plastics Pipe Institute. This was a conference here in Plano. And they wanted to know all about multifamily housing. And I said, multifamily housing is going to spike and stay high for at least another 5-10 years, easy. And they're going to use a lot of plastic pipe.
Got it. So we've got the GIs and then the silent generation and the baby boomers and the X's and Y's. Is there anyone after Y?
Gen Z. Gen Z isn't fully born yet. We really don't spend much time with them. They're kids from 0 to 16. It's going to be a substantial generation. It's not going to be as big as the millennials. They pretty much echo the millennials, but for right now, we just are grateful to have kids.
Wonderful. We'll come back to the babies because the theme today is it's all about the babies. That's for a little bit later. For now, the USA rules the world. We're what, 4% of the world population, but 35% of the economy?
Oh, yeah. You know, China claims to be close in GDP, but they're not. They're about half of what we are. We're about 22 trillion in GDP, and then everybody else falls off precipitously after China. And I'm not even sure that China is 10. China's in serious trouble because of their failing demography.
For our audience who are not so familiar with these things, tell us how you predict the future, the economic fate of a nation based on the number of babies being born. That's kind of a lead into the theme today.
Okay, well, if you have a market economy, what you always, always, always want is an expanding population. So if you have a crop of kids headed your way that are 88 million, largest generation in history, 20 years long, called the millennials. I had two girls just leave home, two of my daughters. I have two daughters left home. One is 26 and one is 29. They didn't take the lawnmower with them. They didn't take the vacuum cleaner with them. They didn't take the dishes with them. They didn't take anything with them. They went out and bought their own, and they're consuming at a normal household starting level. And that's very, very good for the economy. And it was the same thing as the baby boomers passed through the time continuum. The inverse of that is Generation X. As Generation X passed through the system, we went back and looked at Generation X. Now, keep in mind, these are people born 65 to 84. They shut down maternity wards. They closed the toy industry. They shut down bicycles. They shut down motorcycles. They shut down automobiles. And in 2008, they shut down housing. How do I forecast? I look at the market that's headed towards a particular product, and if it's shrinking, then I warn them. If it's expanding, I encourage them to capitalize and hire. Get talent in, because you're going to have a spike in your business.
Interesting. Good stuff. Let's set the stage for fertility and babies, something called the replacement rates and population, I guess. I thought we had a population problem in the world. I thought maybe I read somebody named Malthus 30 years ago in college and thought that we had too much population, that we'd run out of food and we'd all die. But yeah, you're telling me we need more babies.
Oh, yeah, you do. Well, the classic example is China. China in 1979, maybe a little bit before that, was influenced.
The one-child policy.
Yeah, one-child-only policy, and that was encouraged by Henry Kissinger. Can you believe that? I don't know if he was sabotaging him or not, but they went to a one-child-only policy, and they effectively, under 40 years old now, are missing a half billion people that should be there, because they had a fertility of 6 going into that one child, and then they reduced it to 1, and it was dramatic, and it was a heinous process. It was very, very bad. And they cut the population, they cut their productivity from 6 to, you know, over 1, because a lot of people cheated. But another problem that they had was they favored boys. So they aborted or actually murdered the girls. And now China, under 40 years old, has 90 million more males than women. 90 million. That's the population of Mexico.
That is rough.
You can't tamper with your population like that. Right now, the Chinese Communist Party just instituted a 3-child policy. So they have a dependency problem with literally hundreds of millions, and I mean that, hundreds of millions of elderly people they cannot feed because they don't have Social Security there. And so they exacerbate the problem by adding kids. But the Chinese are not having kids because they don't have any parents.
So China's population is aging faster than almost any country in history?
Yeah, it is. But from a demographer standpoint, China is evidence of the worst demographic blunder in the history of the world.
So our goods from Walmart will come from
here,
Mexico or the USA in the future?
Probably Mexico. Probably Mexico to a large degree, but what's happening is manufacturing is coming back here because China's labor 2 years ago began to shrink for the first time. How'd that happen? Well, because they didn't have kids.
So how do you look at the USA and our challenging immigration policy and our birth rate?
Right now, the birth rate's about 1.6, 1.7, so it's a little low, but we're fine. If you look at a demographic pyramid of the United States, we're not in bad shape. The millennials, they entered the labor force late. They're entered the household formulation late. They're marrying late. They're having kids late. We're going to be fine. You know, I don't anticipate any real problems for the United States. Mexico has perfect demography. The only thing Mexico doesn't have is a government. And I do think we're going to deal with that.
I'm confused. Undeveloped countries versus developed countries. Is it just a function of education and birth control that the developed countries are not creating more babies?
I don't know. You know, if you want to look at undeveloped countries in Asia, Southeast Asia, they're not having kids. And the way they develop is they go to the DINK formula, and that's the dual income, no kids, and it works. Well, that's the principle that drove China's economy for decades, but it's over. It's because their population is aging. They don't have any family. People are dying alone. And the one that's really going to be painful for us is South Korea, because that's a model of our republic. They're having one child per couple, and they don't do any immigration. South Korea will not be South Korea in 2050, can't be. They won't have any taxpayers.
After World War II, the U.S. was extremely fertile, and now we're under two?
Yeah, now we're under two.
How are we creating the jobs of the future with only two babies per couple?
It's actually the other way around. How are we producing the labor of the future with only two? There's going to be plenty of jobs. What's going to happen is one, manufacturing is coming back to the States, and it will come back with a vengeance. It was taken from us by China because of the one-child-only policy. The CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, encouraged people to have one child, live with the grandparent. The couple, married couple, would move into the city and work for 25% of what the rest of the world would work for. And then they filled up Walmart with cheap goods. I mean, ridiculously cheap goods. And when you do the math on some of the stuff in Walmart, you wonder, did it really have any labor involved?
Mexico has perfect demography, but not much government.
No.
U.S. has good government and almost enough babies.
And I believe that the fertility of the United States will restore to about two. Now, replacement level fertility is 2.2, but we have excellent immigration policies in the United States. And I tell folks, you know what happened with Generation X, the generation born 1965 to 1984, couldn't supply the labor necessary to meet the demands of the baby boomers. So what happened? Well, we sucked in Latinos from Mexico, literally by the tens of millions, and they've filled. I'm in Texas, and Texas is what they call a minority-majority state. It's healthy.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about Capital Square. Capital Square invests in multifamily properties in the Southeast and Texas. You're in Plano, Texas today, which is one of our favorite places. Plus, we invest in medical properties nationwide where we have strong tenants and long-term net leases. So first, starting with multifamily, we've seen a migration from the gateway cities to suburban markets in the Southeast and Texas. What does demography tell you about the migration?
Generation Y millennials were said to be permanent residents of cities, and that's nonsense. Just like the boomers were not permanent residents of cities, because the boomers got married, went to the cities. As soon as they had their first child, maybe their second child, they realized they couldn't educate them in the city because it was too expensive and they weren't going to send them to a public school. So they moved outside. Debt loads, student loans, other compound issues are driving the multifamily housing. And that's the way it's going to be. And it's the way it's going to be until that Generation Y millennials start embracing suburbia, and they will. But until then, we did some major research for Bain Capital Real Estate, multifamily housing, and we found out fascinating stuff about how it's going to be around for a while and in significant doses. And one of the drivers, of course, is $1 trillion in student loan debt. I mean, these kids are, most of the millennials are still very young and still very in debt. The medical buildings,
yes.
Everything medical will spike. And the reason it will spike is because the current elderly population in the United States is the silent generation born 1925 to 1944. It's a tiny generation. There aren't many of them left. There may be 20 million left. Boomers are entering the age when they're going to need a lot of health care. Baby boomers are 57 to 76 years old. The body breaks at 75 years old. So you can look for boomers who have $10 trillion in the bank, $20 trillion in the stock market, and $70 trillion in real estate to throw money at healthcare because they don't have dying on their punch list. And so I live in South Florida. And in South Florida, you cannot believe the medical building construction. It's like one after another. And there are specialties. There are retina centers, and there are hearing centers, and there's all. So I believe that you're going to see medical research spike like never before in the history of our country. And I think you're going to find boomers are living longer than the generation that's in front of them, much longer. And they want to live into their 90s, and they will.
It's exciting since I am one, and you are too.
You're a boomer, right? Yeah.
We don't want to age out of that cohort because that would make us deceased.
Amen.
That is great. Well, let's see if we can reach some conclusions here from Ken's research, what it tells us about investing in multifamily and medical real estate. First, Ken, primary opportunities for future real estate investments, multifamily and medical. I think you've touched on the gist of it. Where there's a large cohort, there are a lot of tenants.
Correct.
There's also the empty nesters who now want to rent apartments. They're tired of managing and maintaining a home. We have the generations meeting in an apartment community.
Sure.
But it better be a nice one because the millennials are fussy. They want a very nice lifestyle.
I think you're going to see a very, very different demand. There's an awful, you have to remember that we still have around 80 million boomers. There's a large number of them that didn't provide for their retirement. So they're going to need to rent. And one of the things they want to rent near people their age. We're watching the population of Florida. My estimation is the population of Florida right now is 22, 23 million. It's probably going to go to about 35 before it's over 15, 20 years from now. It's going to be huge. Where are they going to live? They're not all going to live in Naples in multi-million dollar homes. So, multifamily housing for boomers, multifamily housing for Generation Y.
We're on board. One of Capital Square's primary investment strategies is manufactured housing in Florida, age restricted, 55 and over.
So there it's
retirement communities where you own your own home. And as landlord, we own the land, the facility, the clubhouse, and it's very affordable, very economical.
Very cool.
Next question. What geographies are best for multifamily? You see the Southeast in Texas for apartments?
One of the most interesting maps that I've seen recently has been the states that have gained U.S. House seats and states that have lost House seats and states that have stayed the same. The whole Northeast is in trouble. It just is. And what we're seeing is an exodus of, boomers are moving south. Boomers don't want to be cold anymore. And then their millennial kids are following them or following jobs. Texas is on fire. Texas just picked up 2 House seats. California lost a House seat. All up north, I think starting in Ohio, going over to Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, all lost House seats. And so what does that mean? That means it's losing population. And when you lose population, multifamily housing, you better find pockets that will be friendly. You can't just make a blanket statement about a state, but you can make a blanket statement about Texas, and you can make a blanket statement about Utah. And Montana picked up a house seat. Why are people moving to Montana? That can't be boomers. That's got to be millennials.
Next question. Will manufacturing return to the USA and not to China?
With a vengeance. Yeah, and that's because the Chinese labor, the CCP shot itself in the foot with the one child only policy. They have to pay more for labor now because where are the feeders? There aren't. You're missing 500 million people under 40 years old. You got a problem. You're never going to recover that. You couldn't recover that if you annexed half of the African nations. You couldn't do it. It's impossible. What's going to happen is they're not going to have labor. And if you don't have labor, that is the chief driving factor in keeping the price of products, the consumables, down. So it's over. All the markets are changing. There are enormous opportunities in real estate right now.
We're thrilled by it. Is there economic value in immigration?
Yeah. What will happen if you look at the Latinos that have come into our country? The big driver in immigration are Mexicans. And what are they doing? You can find them right over the border in the border states, but then they're finding their way north. And it's going to be good. We need them. They're going to be our taxpayers in 20, 30 years. They're according to Pew Research, they're on the bottom rung right now, but they're not going to stay there. They're workers.
Should the U.S. find a way to partner with Mexico to harness the population along the lines of it's all about the babies theme?
Yeah, I would. You know what I would do? And I don't know why we haven't done it. It must be that a lot of people in the United States are making money on drugs. We need to control the cartels. They can't run that country. We're going to need Mexico for labor, and we're going to need Mexico for manufacturing. So we need to partner with their government and help them get rid of the cartels.
Now, millennials, the so-called snowflakes that we sometimes make fun of, should we stop making fun of them? Do they have value to our economy?
Let me ask you something, Lewis. Do you remember hippies?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
You know, I look out at my audience today. The audience had maybe, I don't know, a couple hundred people in it. And I said, some of you are hippies, but I can't tell anymore. I'll tell you what happened to you. You had a mortgage. You had a car payment. I said, you grew up. So sex, drugs, and rock and roll went away. You cut your hair and you became a Republican.
So that's what the millennials will grow up.
Yeah.
They're delayed, but they will eventually move to the suburbs, buy a home, have 2-point-something children.
We're going to have liberal election cycles for at least two more shots, maybe 2024 and 2028. But then you're going to be cultivating moderates. And right now we don't have any moderates, which is why we're fighting, because the population that would provide the moderates is Generation X, and it's small. So we have the baby boomer generation and their kids. Their kids are liberals, the baby boomers are conservative, and there's a serious clash in our republic. But the republic can handle it. The republic can handle very, very tough demographic things. We're fine.
That is comforting. Now, the migration from the gateway cities. When the pandemic hit, we tracked our collections from apartments in the Southeast and Texas very carefully. And our head asset manager said, the first month when the pandemic hit, rent collection 99%. And I said, 99%? Average or better? What's it going to be next month? 99%. What's it going to be 6 months from now? We've averaged 99% rent collection in apartments in the Southeast and Texas from pandemic to today. What does that tell you? It tells you people have jobs.
Yeah.
People moved from very expensive city locations to more suburban locations. They had more money. They could afford to pay more rent.
Well, good.
So that's worked out well. But does that mean the cities are dead?
You know, I don't know. I'll tell you this. The principal concern I have, and I've looked into office space and retail space. I think retail is going to redefine itself, but Amazon is Amazon. And there'll be other Amazon clones. So retail will never be the same. And office space, I don't think will ever be the same. There's so many people that are not going to go back to work. My own family, my son-in-law works for Travelers Insurance in Hartford. I think he's going to work 3 days a week and then 2 days at home. That's where it's going to be.
But he needs a home, hence the housing business. You have to have a place to live.
Well, if you do the math on the space needed by the millennials, it's like 25 million over the next 10 or 15 years. Right now it's 5 million. We're 5 million short. But it's simple math. Unless these kids are going to sleep in their cars, they're going to need a house. They're going to need structure. So we need to build structure, and it needs to be something they can afford.
It surprises people that we have a housing shortage with all the cranes building housing.
I spoke to loggers in Oregon about 3 years ago, and I said, you do realize what's going to happen to housing. You know what's going to happen to the demand of wood? And they said, oh, no, we can't cut trees fast enough now.
This has been a fascinating discussion, Ken. I appreciate your time. I think we'd all like to hear you say that the best days are ahead, that it's a rising sun for the USA, and we can be very optimistic about our future. What say ye?
I say exactly that. We're a blessed nation. We really are. We're a blessed nation. You want to say that the United States is broken? No way. The best way to look at that, look at Pearl Harbor, December 7th, President Roosevelt. We had no armament. You know how many tanks we had? December 7th, 1941, we had 18 tanks.
That's it?
Yeah, that was it. So what did Roosevelt do? Roosevelt called in Sears, he called in General Motors, and he called in U.S. Steel for various purposes. Sears for distribution, General Motors for manufacturing, and U.S. Steel for raw materials. And he said, our enemies that want to kill us, two major enemies, Germany and Japan, want to kill us, have a 10-year head start. Can you guys crank out war materials? Well, we beat them in like 3.5 years. That's who we are. So don't tug on Superman's cape.
Well, that's a great way to end. Thank you very much, Ken. This has been delightful. Thanks for your time. Please join me, Lewis Rogers, same time next week when we discuss cutting-edge real estate topics of interest locally and nationally. Invest locally, invest nationally, and invest with Capital Square on a tax-advantaged basis. Living in the sweet Virginia
breeze. Sweet Virginia breeze. The Real Estate Show, sponsored by Capital Square Realty Advisors, LLC, is broadcast as an information service and includes opinions as to buying, selling, and holding various investments. However, the host, Lewis Rogers, is not licensed to give any financial, tax, or other investment advice or recommendations. Accordingly, any data and information discussed is provided for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not intended to be an offer or solicitation to invest in any particular investment. You should never make an investment decision based solely off the information discussed on this broadcast. If you are seeking investment, tax, or legal advice, you should consult with a registered investment advisor, financial, tax, or legal professional of your choosing. Opinions and views expressed on this broadcast are opinions and views based on research gathered through what we believe to be reputable sources. Although we believe these sources to be accurate and reliable, in no way do we represent or guarantee the accuracy thereof, nor the accuracy of the statements made on this broadcast. Listeners should independently verify all claims on this broadcast and conduct their own due diligence before investing in any securities or investments, including any mentioned on this broadcast. Investing in securities is highly speculative and carries a high degree of risk.